Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Gaming, the podcast just like all the other gaming podcasts, except this one is by us. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Remember, kids, don't take candy or, you know, sharp objects from strangers unless they're in a cave and say it's dangerous to go alone. Please take this. Then it's probably fine.
That tracks.
Really wise advice.
Fun fact, if you take the sword and then try to attack the old man in the original NES Zelda, he will start throwing fireballs at you until you're dead.
That also tracks.
Really quick, Nintendo establishing a firm line of, listen here, you little shit.
I did not know that. That's new information for me.
Well, speaking of new information, let's talk about our sponsors. We've got two great sponsors. Shirtosaurus, not Shirtosaurus. That's the fourth level. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. And whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back with a postage-paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. And they just updated their rewards program, where you can stack up to $20 in coupons towards any purchase. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now, because we love you, by using the link at geekcavepodcast.com.
You know, Darren, your little slip-up earlier reminds me of that old adage, when you can't see the shirt of forest for the tees.
Hey.
Oh, man.
Hey, they got sweaters, too.
That there's peak dad. Way to go, Justin.
That was good thinking on your feet there, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of thinking on one's feet, Chad.
Check it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
Welcome to the Demo Derby. The game is revved up and ready to play, and boy howdy do we have a rootin' tootin' experience for you today. As one of the last heroes of the Lander people, we are running out of one of the purest forms of energy this side of a supernova, and with our AI companion Hamilton, we're going to retrieve a device that is rumored to supply all the milk we could ever need. That's not a typo, by the way. In this game, milk is the bee's knees, the cat's pajamas, and all-around Jim Dandy source of energy in the galaxy. In this game, our solemn duty is to retrieve it for the future survival of our people in Moolander. Moolander.
Okay.
So, do you like action RPGs?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you enjoy Metroidvania-style games?
I do.
Do you have 18 smackers in your gaming wallet?
Sure.
If
most
so,
times.
Then you could do plenty worse than Moolander. This 2D action-adventure RPG was a hoot to play. It didn't seem to take itself too seriously, and though I'm sure it gets hard later, the level proffered by the demo was absolutely perfect. Perhaps too perfect. Anyway, in the game, you fly your ship. You blast away at alien things with your milk bullets, or you slash them with your milk sword while defending yourself with your milk shield. And at the end of the level, you'll fight a space cow. If you defeat it, you get to abduct it. No lie. Game's pretty. Game controls well. The humor's good. The voice acting's all right. And though I didn't play the other modes, it does have four-player couch co-op. It has a mode in which you get to play as the space cow, defending the milk from the adventurer. And I thoroughly enjoyed my time with this somewhat short half-hour demo, and I recommend it. Get the demo, because this may very well be what happens for Geek Cave Live during the Extra Life marathon.
So you're fighting a space cow.
There is actually also a multiplayer mode in which one of the players is the cow and the other three are adventurers.
Oh, so kind of like Evolve, where monster versus, okay.
Because the cows are hella powerful.
Would you say that during that the stakes are high?
I would, absolutely.
This is what it's going to be for the rest of the taping, isn't it?
Well, I actually had that joke written in there. And I took it out because I was just like, I got to leave something for Justin. Justin is going to catch it.
And I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. But yeah, Moolander, it's a good time. The demo is really well done.
I'm glad you liked it because you've had a run of bad demos.
I'd had a few bad demos there. This one was... It's that perfect 2D, you know, float around
sure. And
do things. Like I said, I'm sure it gets hard later, but the demo, really fun.
All right.
Really fun.
Cool.
And you can get it for free on, like, PlayStation, right? Like, the demo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
But it's Steam, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch.
Nice. Equal opportunity mooing there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Moolander. All right.
Moolander. Get the milk. Protect the milk. Save your people.
Okay.
And talk to a snarky AI named Hamilton.
Oh, I can't think of anything I love more right now. But in the meantime, Justin.
Yes.
What you been up to on Reddit lately?
Why, thank you for asking. As many of you know, I don't get to play video games much, but I do have a wide breadth of knowledge that I think is useful to the gamer, to the gaming community. So I've been going through Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that deserve a definitive answer in a little segment I like to call...
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. So this month's question is, how to share games with kids? Napster, LimeWire, Kazaa, these were the easiest ways to share things back in the day. I've got a cousin who keeps going on about the dark web. I just assumed it was a night mode for your browser, but apparently you can get a lot of really cool things there. But whatever you do, don't park in a windowless van by a school with a sign that says free video games inside. That will get you into a lot of trouble. Unrelated, I need next Thursday off for court.
Had been the first half, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Also, biphysical. It's easier to share that way. Although it is cool. Steam does let you share your digital games. You
Ooh.
Can just sign in on someone else's computer and then assign that as one of your, you know, shared libraries. And so you can play anything that your friend owns, which is pretty nice.
Pretty neat.
Pretty cool. All right. I've got a couple reviews before the Pile of Shame review. Do you guys have anything else?
I've only been playing Spider-Man.
And Moolander.
And Moolander. Moolander.
I have not been playing anything new.
All right, cool. I know that you mentioned that you've been playing Kena Bridge of Spirits, which we gave a glowing review to, and you say you're liking it so far?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It is cool. Well worth your time and energy.
Cool. Well, before we get into the reviews, then, let's talk about Extra Life, because it is gaming adjacent every year. The three of us, plus our spouses, plus a couple of the kids, all get together. And we play video games for 24 hours strictly for charity, for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. You've heard the spiel before if you've been a follower of the podcast for a while. And if not, well, strap in because this one is a good one. See, it's real simple. 100% of all of the donations go straight to Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. My wife and I, we've chosen one hospital. Chad and his spouse have chosen one. Justin and his spouse have chosen one as well. So if you like a particular hospital, you can donate to that. You can donate to all three of us, whichever. It doesn't matter, because we also offer prizes to those who donate as an incentive. Now, the incentive should just be you're helping kids' medical bills. You know, you're helping take this burden off of parents. And you're helping pay for not only equipment and treatment, but also so these hospitals can stock stuff like video games to keep the kids' minds off being in the hospital. But to make the pot a little sweeter, we have added some incentive items. If you donate any amount, you are in the running for a couple of prize drawings, including a physical copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge on the Nintendo Switch. That is courtesy of Limited Run Games. In fact, we'll be talking about that game in just a moment. Also, you get a chance to win your choice of a Nintendo Switch Online, Game Pass, or PS Plus Essentials membership. Or you could win a t-shirt of your choice from Shirtosaurus, and they have some sweet designs. Just log on. They've been a sponsor since the very beginning. Big thank you to them for being a part of it. It's a small business that we're helping support, and they're supporting us in the process. But here's the one that I think everyone's going to really want to hear about. Because Chad, Justin, and I have been talking, and we want one of you to be on the show. We want one of our listeners, or maybe more than one. Depends on how many donations we get. But if you donate $250 or more, you will be part of the show. You will get to have a spot in one of the three main segments. You can bring your own stuff if you want. You can just hang out if you want. It's entirely up to you. No pressure. But we would just love to have you on as a way to say thanks.
I mean, certain expectations apply. We will expect you to make fun of Darren a little bit. And if you're on, and if you're there for the comics thing, you will have to interrupt the long box at least once.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is in Chad's contract.
Well, you know, it's only right. You know, whenever we got started, I was the straight man. I'm still am. But you guys would just derail me so much.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while, Chad. I guess we need to up our game.
That is not a challenge. That is not a challenge.
That is how I heard it, good friend.
No.
You had to speak, man.
Anyway.
This is what happens when you use your voice.
I use mine in return.
Oh, boy. It's the consequences of my actions. Well, go to deepcavepodcast.com. Click on the Extra Life link. You can find all the details there. So let's talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
Hey, I saw a guy do that on Twitch last Tuesday, or a couple Tuesdays ago.
Yeah, it turns out that Twitch Tuesdays are a thing for our Twitch channel now. Every Tuesday at 6:30 Central, we will be streaming at least 30 minutes, shooting for an hour of gameplay. And TMNT Shredder's Revenge, that was our return to Twitch. And it's a, you know the arcade game.
Oh, yeah.
Both of you know it really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know Turtles in Time. You know the 80s show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's all that. It is all of that. It plays just like a new version of the Turtles arcade game. It's got so many character cameos, including those frogs, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
I saw Rasputin, the Mad Frog.
Yeah, all of them. All of them show up. So many fun little nods to Turtles history. They got a lot of the original show's voice actors back for this game as well. April O'Neil is not only a playable character, but probably one of the more fun ones to play as.
She uses a microphone as a...
Not only does she use a microphone as a melee weapon, but after you do a throw, she will pull out a camera and take a picture of her downed opponent before moving on.
Nice.
They got everything right. The sense of humor, the combat feels nice and solid and just so button-mashy satisfactory. There's both a story mode as well as an arcade mode if you want to have limited lives. The story mode even includes a world map. You remember the NES Ninja Turtles game?
How could I not?
There's this overworld where you're in the turtle van. That is the world map for this game.
Yes.
They got so many things right with this. I can't be positive enough about it as a longtime Turtles fan and a fan of arcade-style beat-em-ups. Go play this game. It is absolutely great. And just a reminder, if you donate to Extra Life, you could win a physical copy of it from Limited Run Games. So we go from a monumental high to the mud.
Oh, did you try playing Mass Effect Andromeda again?
No. No, I've gotten help. I'm not doing that again.
Okay,
I'll show you my patch. It's fine.
We've got money and petty cash for that. You know, Justin had to put in when he was getting over his Flappy Bird addiction.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't
Darren,
worry.
Darren, we love you, and we want what's best for you. And
I do,
we're,
too.
We're here to help you.
I have not touched it.
Okay.
I'm more than 2 years Andromeda sober. Okay?
Just, you know, we worry about you.
Do you see that the BioWare store actually, they've got these Commander Shepard replica helmets. And I own one. Mm-hmm. But they also have one based on Andromeda. This is a $200 helmet that was on sale for $15 because nobody's buying it.
Dang.
So, I think the audience has made its point when it comes to Mass Effect Andromeda.
And I think I just found Darren's Christmas gift.
I mean, sure, I'll take a matching set. It's not like it's a game. No, what I'm talking about is something that it looks great, like Andromeda. It looks great, but in practice, it's just kind of, you know? So whenever I see a video game title that is proper name, colon, Rising, or Revenge, or Strike, or something like that, instantly I think, okay, this is either a mobile game or it's cheap AF.
Like Phoenix Rising.
No. No, that was two words after the word immortal.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Yeah, it's just the one. And it's usually Rising for some reason. Let's talk about Eidyan Chronicle, Rising.
Okay.
This was available on Game Pass, and it looked fun. It is a side-scrolling action platformer.
Okay.
Where you play as a scavenger who shows up to this one town. She's looking for a very specific relic, and she ends up getting roped into a bunch of side quests by the mayor, acting mayor, who wants her city cleaned up and can't find anyone else helpful enough to do so.
All right.
So, you know, the writing is pretty fun. There's a lot of jokes and very anime-esque kind of exchanges. The visuals are somehow both good-looking and cheap-looking.
Okay.
Stick with me.
Sounds like me.
I'm here for it.
It's like, visually, the conversations are all done via text box with good voice acting. And you'll get like these blown up portraits of a character for the first time. So you know what they look like and memorize that. Because for the rest of it, they look like these teeny little Super Nintendo style, not sprites. It's hand drawn, or it looks hand drawn. But the cheapness comes when you're in combat. It's like they did just maybe two or three animations per character and then called it a day, you know? So the swinging of your axe is the same. The jump is not, you don't bend your knees. You just kind of like move up. Yeah. but the character design is good. And come on, this is a game where you get to team up with a Ronin samurai kangaroo who has an eye patch and carries around this huge honkin' sword meant for crushing boulders. The problem is, I got so side quested out, and it wasn't side quest as in optional content, it was side quest as in you need to do these before we will let you progress with the story side quests.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That I gave up about 12 hours in. Now, what I played of those 12 hours, and why did I play so long? Well, I wanted to see if I could finish the game. Unfortunately, after that long, I realized I am not going to finish this game because they will probably keep throwing busy shit at me until they've added another 12 hours of content. And so I stopped there. Is Eidyan Chronicle Rising good? Eh. Is it bad? Nah. It's basically, it is the lukewarm of video games. You know, it is neither hot nor cold, and I want to spit it out. It is lukewarm.
It is the internal body temperature of your standard Tauntaun.
Yes.
Did you just get that?
It took me a second. That was good.
I approve. And I thought my jokes smelled bad on the outside.
It was the day-old muffin of video games.
All right.
Like, it's fine, but it's not as good as it could have been.
Right on.
So. Still laughing about lukewarm. If there's no other business, and I don't believe there is, then Kent, if you would.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
So, here we are again, another edition of the Year of the Games of the Year, where I review the creme de la creme, the cream of the crop, the things with booties that just won't stop, the best video games that we could possibly round up, or at least the ones that I could afford, and the ones that I already owned, and the ones that have been sitting there waiting for a replay. Why doesn't Batman just straight up kill the Joker?
Philosophically, or...
No, just in general. It's a question that is asked over and over when we look...
Please save all questions of that nature for the comic book segment.
Well, because
the answer is a lot more fun than that. I mean, it's bigger than just that, because the counter question is, why is it Batman's responsibility to kill the Joker and not the state's?
That's fair.
True.
Batman is constantly bringing him in with evidence of his deeds. Why isn't the state doing that?
That's fair, but that question still comes up whenever we looked at the Caped Crusader and his apparent fear that by killing someone who is at best an unrepentant murderous monster with a kill count near the thousands, Batman himself will start to go down that same road. Well, the question of how far will Batman go to not kill the Joker is part of the famous Batman Arkham trilogy, and the answer is a whole hell of a lot farther than he probably should have gone. Now, Arkham Origins is not considered part of the Arkham trilogy for some reason, although I do think it is a very good entry. Today we're looking at the game that, depending on who you ask, saved superhero video games. Gentlemen, let's take a look at Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yes!
Developed by Rocksteady Studios and published by Eidos back in 2009, Batman Arkham Asylum, or Batman AA Battery, if you will, starts with a jailbreak within the asylum, orchestrated by the Joker. He let himself be captured, solely to make sure Batman would be trapped in there as well. Over the next 20 or so hours, you have to navigate the asylum grounds, deal with some of Batman's biggest villains, and the Riddler, on your way to shutting down Joker's plot to essentially turn Gotham City into one that is full of roided-out monsters by using a variation of the Venom steroid. You'll get support from Oracle. You'll find audio diaries of doctor-patient sessions just littered around the island in what is one of the biggest HIPAA violations I can ever think of. You'll fight hundreds of mentally ill psychopaths and go on the occasional scavenger hunt in the process. Guys, there's a reason most superhero games have adapted Arkham's combat control scheme.
Oh, yeah.
It works. This game is 13 years old, and it feels solid as hell today. The controls are tight. Getting a 20-plus hit combo going is both easy and supremely satisfying. Everything about the way this game handles makes sense. They nailed it on the first try. When you have to resort to stealth to take out a room full of armed goons, it is a welcome development, as opposed to forced stealth areas in other games. Now, we were talking about this, Chad, not too long ago. Stealth in the modern Spider-Man games works fine, but it just feels right in the Batman series.
Yes.
It's just that you can't put your finger on it. Now, visually, there are a few minor issues. Most of the Arkham staff's faces are straight-up nightmare fuel, and you can tell lessons were learned for follow-up entries. But the game still holds up really well from a graphical standpoint. I played the original PS3 version, and I also went back and played the Game of the Year version on PC. Both were still pretty good looking. The soundtrack is appropriately moody, and I enjoyed that as the game went on. The chime that plays before PA announcements on the island gets more and more distorted and worn as the island itself changes thanks to certain story developments. I'm not going to spoil a lot, but this game is 13 years old, and you should probably play it. Also, most of the voices from the stellar Batman the Animated Series reprise their roles. So this feels almost like a gritty continuation. Although I will take contention with one assertion. People keep saying that that is the same voice of Commissioner Gordon, and I doubt it. That does not sound like him. I have rewatched Batman the Animated Series after playing Batman Arkham Asylum, and that does not sound like Jim Gordon. So either it is the same voice actor and his voice has changed, or y'all have got some rosy earmuffs on.
I agree because with your analysis of the game, because this is actually what got me to buy a PS3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For years, I'd been only Nintendo. You know, I had a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, and then I would play on and off with other people's, like, GameCubes and 64s and stuff like that.
You got a Wii, I remember that.
The Wii came out, gangbusters, I bought that. And then one of you two got the PS3. I think it was you, Darren, got a PS3.
Yep.
And Arkham Asylum, and you let me borrow it, or Chad let me borrow it, one of the two. And I fell in love with it, and the first chance I got, I bought a PS3. And I played it. I still have it. And I recently got my PS5. So, you know, it turned me on to a whole nother genre of games that I wasn't familiar with.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's not just all that I've already mentioned, but there are some downsides to the game. For example, a few notable characters are missing. Catwoman is not in the game. Penguin, Two-Face, they only show up in little Easter egg documents and such.
Yeah, but they show up in Arkham City, so I guess, you know, leave something for the sequel.
Chad, what is this?
That's Gordon at the very bottom. Batman, Arkham Asylum, the voice of
Gordon. Oh, okay.
Gordon.
So, Bob Hastings was Batman, the animated series, Jim Gordon. Tom Kane was Batman, Arkham Asylum's Jim Gordon. So, for those of you who continue saying it's the same voice actor, it is not.
IMDb confirms.
But yeah, Catwoman, Penguin, Two-Face, they're not there. The final boss fight is frankly kind of dumb. And
yeah.
Boils down to yet another Batman versus giant monster fight that you've already done 5 times in this game. It would have been really fun to have Batman need to outsmart the Joker instead of just a crowd control fight. Especially since there are plenty of times during the game where you do have to use gadgets and do detective stuff, you know? The exploration's fun. It makes collecting all the Riddler trophies easy. And by the way, this one has just the right amount of Riddler stuff, as opposed to hundreds of collectibles in the latter entries. You know, I'm looking at you, Arkham City. I'm looking at you, Arkham Knight. I don't need 350 trophies. Okay, I'm Batman. I know where Riddler is.
They're trying to work themselves up to Breath of the Wild's 900.
Oh, the stupid,
you know, seeds.
The tree poop?
Yep.
Yeah. Spoilers for Breath of the Wild.
If you collect them all, you get golden poop.
You get a big old turd. Big old tree
Ooh.
Poop.
Yeah. That does nothing but smell bad.
There are certain areas in this game that seem only to exist to piss me off as well. Flooded corridor, underground area. I get it's supposed to be a maze and kind of a Metroidvania type of game, which I love normally. But making me navigate through a thoroughly brown room that has just enough twists and turns to get me lost enough to go right back out the same door I came in? That's just bad design. Period. Now, while Arkham City expanded on everything Asylum did, only with a lot more content, for better or worse, Asylum just feels complete. Even today, although I would have liked to have unlockable bat suits and a few more characters to show up. That all showed up in Arkham City. Batman Arkham Asylum won Game of the Year at the 2010 BAFTA Awards, which earned it a spot on this year's Pile of Shame list. It is an incredibly fun and satisfying action experience. It's definitely worth your time to pick up, whether it is for the first time or to play through again and again and again and again. Be like me in this case.
Cool.
With no further business, be sure to listen to our other podcasts, including Geek Cave Podcast Comics, which went up yesterday if you are listening to these in real time, and Geek Cave Podcast Movies, which goes up tomorrow. Of course, you could just be like some people and binge it all at once, in which case, hey, that's fine too. There's also You Want Me to Watch What, where Chad and Justin get together and challenge each other to watch movies that the other has not seen. There's the Week 3 podcast, where Justin and I get together and talk about whatever we can pull out of a hat. Spoiler alert, sometimes it's weird. We also have the occasional TLDR. You can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/deepcavepodcast every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Central for Let's Play videos. We also have Deep Cave Plays and Retromantics on our YouTube channel. Retromantics is where myself and my spouse, Lori, get together and we play old couch co-op games because they don't hardly make them anymore, so we have to go back to the old stuff if we want to play together, it seems. And you can find the link to that, as well as our Extra Life fundraiser and Discord and so much more at deepcavepodcast.com. By the way, if you do join the Discord, you can chat with us one-on-one, meet other fans, share your ideas, and get early access to every new episode. You usually get access about 6 to 10 hours before everyone else does. So, you know, that's not bad. For a few hours, you know something no one else does.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ah.
For Kent, Justin, and Chad, I'm Darren. Be sure to always buy everything the merchant has and then sell it right back to them at a slight profit if you're playing Fable. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.